And I began by talking about just the, for an old guy, just the amazing technology. And you young people, you take it for granted. You don't know anything but this. How much information we have at our fingertips. We've just got 24/7 streaming of any kind of news, media, whatever. I mean, you want the world to know what you just had for supper, you can do that just like that. Just post a picture of it. I don't know why you would, but anyhow. But even though we've got all this technology and all this information at our fingertips, all the polls and surveys indicate that we are the most anxious, depressed society around. We've got all this access to information, but yet we're anxious, depressed. So that what that tells me is that information is not the answer to everything. There's something missing. And I mentioned last week that I'm convinced that what's missing is wisdom. And I think we make a couple of mistakes with regard to wisdom. I think we think that if you have information, you've got wisdom, you know. But information and knowledge are not the same thing as wisdom. Wisdom has more to do with knowing the right thing to do with all that information and knowledge. And I think we also make the mistake to assume that you have to be old to have wisdom, and all old people have wisdom. Let me just, all old people don't have wisdom. And to encourage those of you who are young, you can have wisdom. You don't have to wait till you get to be old, because there's no guarantee you're going to have it when you get there. Book of Luke says that Jesus grew in wisdom when he was just a child. And so you can have wisdom right now, regardless of what your age is. Now, here's the most important thing that I mentioned last week, and it's still the most important thing that we need to remember even this week. And that is that the Bible teaches us that God is the owner of wisdom. He possesses it. It's his. And so any attempt on our part to somehow acquire wisdom is going to involve God. We cannot acquire wisdom without him, because he's the owner of it. He possesses it. So if we're going to grow in wisdom, then we have to grow in our experience of our relationship with God. We need to grow more intimate in that relationship with him. We need to obey him more completely, know him more fully. And the more that happens, then we're in a better position then to acquire wisdom. Now, this series is not so much last week and this week about how to grow in wisdom as it is to know what it looks like when you start getting it. Or, I guess to put it negatively, if you don't see these things, you know you don't have it. Here's what we covered last week, just to give you a quick update. As we grow in wisdom, you come to understand that you don't know everything. You begin to accept that as well, that everything just doesn't make logical sense. You can have lots of information, but you know that's not going to give you the wisdom. And you don't know everything anyhow. And so, you know, it means that you don't have to think you're in control or need to be in control. You can accept some uncertainty when you begin to grow in wisdom. When you begin to grow in wisdom, you also are going to grow in humility. We looked at a proverb that says wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord. It says, and humility comes before honor. And so the wise people among us are the ones that treat God with great reverence, and because of that, they treat men with humility. Knowledge alone has a tendency to puff us up. Wisdom will always humble us. Third thing we talked about last week was success in life can be very deceptive, and we can begin to think that just because we're successful, just because, you know, we make all the good grades, or we're the star athlete, or because our company has done well, or whatever, that we've achieved certain things, that we can then begin to think that just because of that, that we're wise. Well, that's not necessarily true. There are a lot of successful people who, honestly, in a lot of ways, act foolishly. And even the people who make lots of mistakes and don't have lots of successes, if they're learning from that, what God wants them to learn, they will become people of wisdom. Last thing we talked about was as you grow in wisdom, you'll accept that tomorrow is not promised to you. The psalmist asks the Lord to help him be able to number his days, to know that this life has a finality about it. And because of that, then, the people of wisdom realize and they understand that they need to make the best use of the time that they do have. Which means, if it's a godly wisdom, that they're going to use the time that they have to focus in especially on things that have eternal value. So, let's finish this up. A passage that I've spoken from in more detail, I'm going to project it, so it's a topical message. I'm going to float around from verse to verse, so I've got them projected for you. This is one that I've actually preached an entire message pretty much just on that one verse. And it says that the wisdom from above is first, and then it goes through this list of descriptions. It says it's first pure and then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. It's a great verse that gives us a really good picture of what wisdom looks like. And I think sometimes when we think of godly people, people with a godly wisdom, I think sometimes we think of them as being kind of passive, wimpy, little people who never get passionate about anything. They don't get fired up. They're just kind of milquetoast. Maybe that's a bad, interpretation, but I think some people think they're more godly if they're just kind of that wimpy, milquetoasty kind of, Now, I'm not going to expand on every word in that. I've done that in another message. I just want you to look at those list of descriptive words. And I want you to understand that wise people can be described with those words. They can be upset and they can become passionate about things, but they don't have, when they're this, that doesn't mean that they're wimpy. In fact, I think people who are growing in wisdom come to understand the strength of those words. That it's a strong thing to be peaceable. It's a strong thing to be reasonable. It is strength to be gentle. Some people have a reputation for strength and assertiveness, and when they get passionate about something, they may yell and they may curse and they may call people names and they fight in ways that foolish people fight. But that list of words, those are the weapons of people with wisdom. Take a look at it. They're peaceable and they're gentle and they're reasonable. But that doesn't mean that they're wimpy. That doesn't mean that they're milquetoast. They show mercy, but there's strength in that. They stand firm and they're upfront about things. They're not hypocritical. And they fight about things, but they fight with a wise, godly character. And I think as we grow in wisdom, we begin to see just how strong those attributes are. For this reason, wise people have grown to understand that the way you say things to people is more important than the actual words you say. Character becomes more important, becomes so important that you focus on it. Proverbs 19:20. This one's really pretty straightforward. It just says, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you'll be counted among the wise. That's pretty straightforward. There's not a whole lot of explanation needed there. As you grow in wisdom, you'll notice that you don't feel like you have to talk all the time. You'll listen more. And really, this is closely connected to that idea of being humble. That out of reverence to God, you're humble before men. You'll realize that you don't have to control the conversation as you begin to grow in wisdom. As you begin to grow in wisdom and somebody is excited about something that happens to them, you don't have to one-up that story. You just share in their excitement with them. You don't have to know everything, so you listen in the hopes of gaining understanding. I have to admit, I'm really good at listening when somebody's telling me how wonderful I am and that they like my shoes. Oh, I listen to that. But when you grow in wisdom, you'll listen even when somebody is stabbing you in the front. You'll accept the discipline. You'll listen for the constructive part of that criticism. Because you'll accept that as you understand what they're pointing out, that that will be a benefit to you. When we start doing that, we're growing in wisdom. Third one. And this one I've added in here, and I admit that the word wise or wisdom doesn't show up anywhere in this. This is, it comes from one of my favorite books, and it's just a couple of verses that are really special to me. Paul has earlier in this chapter, he's just gone through all that we have in Christ, the blessings that we have. And in that discussion, he says, in all wisdom and insight, God made known to us the intention, according to the intention of his will, the mystery of Christ. And after he's talked about all this good stuff we have in Christ, then he gives this prayer at the end of that section. And these two verses say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, with the result being so that you may know. And then he mentions three things that he's hoping the Ephesians, in light of all that God has given them, he's praying that their eyes will be enlightened so that they'll experience and know firsthand. And he mentions these three things: the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. See, I'm convinced that as we grow in wisdom, we'll discover that we tend to see more of the good in things than we did before. Maybe I'm just having personal confession here to you, but it's easy for me to find the negative in a lot of things. The calling of God on our lives sometimes seems to be a heavy weight to bear. Seems to be difficult. But I think as we grow in wisdom, we begin to see the hope. We begin to have more of that confident expectation about the benefits of Christ in our lives. I think as we grow in wisdom, sometimes maybe we think that we've given up so much and there's this good life that we can't do anymore because we're now a Christian. But when we grow in wisdom, we begin to see more and more the riches of what we have in Christ. And we don't miss that other stuff like we did before we grew in wisdom. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the struggles of this life. But I believe that as we grow in wisdom, our eyes begin to be enlightened to the surpassing greatness of his power. And so we're not so easily overwhelmed by the struggles in this life. I believe that those who grow in wisdom discover more and more the hope, the confident expectation that God overrules the negatives that we find in our life. There are a lot of very knowledgeable, intellectual people who are depressed and hopeless. But wise people grow to understand that their hope is always, not in stuff around them, but always in what they have in Christ Jesus. Last one. Oh my goodness, it's so early. I don't know if you all will find your home at this early hour. Last one. Let's see if I can stretch it out. Proverbs 13:20. Again, this is one of those verses that it's really not that hard to figure out. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Kids, let me just ask you, parents ever quiz you about your friends? And that annoys you, doesn't it? It's good that they're doing that. I don't know if they're doing it because of this proverbial truth, but they need to know what kind of friends. And mom and dad, you need to check on your friend list as well. Those growing in wisdom are the ones who make it a habit to hang out with. And let me just go over the list of what we've covered so far. They're the ones who make it a habit to hang out with the people who admit that they don't know everything. They hang out with the people who show reverence to God and humility toward men. They hang out with the people who realize that their successes don't define who they've become, but godly wisdom does. They hang out with people who have learned to number their days, and so as a result of that, they spend their time using it the way God would think would be wise, focusing on the things that have eternal value. They're people who live with passion, but that passion is characterized by Christ-like qualities of being peace-loving and gentle and reasonable in that list that we looked at. They hang out with people who are good listeners. They hang out with people who find their hope in the trustworthiness of Christ. Wise people make a point of hanging out with those people, which means they need to be on the lookout for those people. Growing in wisdom means we'll see the importance of building friendships with people as I've described them, those who are growing in wisdom, people of integrity who live with passion and with purpose. Those things should describe the people that you find at church. If it does not, then there is something wrong. Because we, of all people, should be people living with a godly wisdom. And the importance of building relationships with those people is whoever walks with the wise is more likely to going to become wise. But the companion of fools are going to suffer harm. That's why Sunday school is so important. It's not so much that you come to learn Bible trivia. It's come that you talk and you fellowship and you begin to relate to people who hopefully are growing in wisdom. And even though it's so early, I'm done. You like the shoes now, don't you? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are really in song that we've sung this morning, in our Bible study this morning, just flooded with this thought of your loving kindness is just unfailing to us. And you have taught us that you possess wisdom and you freely give it to those who will ask you and seek it from you. And Father, I pray that we will become those people more and more, that we'll become the people who look to you, who draw close to you, so that we might gain from your wisdom and our lives might reflect it in such a way that it's seen. And may it all be for your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.